Olivet Nazarene University. Where you are to where you will be.
Good evening. You're listening to everybody's favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, 104.1 FM, KSCO.com. It's now 6 minutes past 7 p.m. I'm Chris Spencer with your weather and traffic updates for tonight. Patchy fog after midnight out there, increasing clouds, a low around 58. Wednesday, fog before noon, and some gradual sunshine coming through along the coast for the day and a high near 68. And they'll still have some medium 80s and low 90s inland. Wednesday night, mostly clear, low around 58. And for your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for tonight, west winds 10 to 20 knots, decreasing to 10 knots after midnight. Wind waves 3 feet in the evening, becoming 2 feet or less, and a northwest swell 2 feet at 8 seconds after midnight. Fog also out there on the bay. Quick look at your traffic out there this evening. Hit and run, no injuries. 183 at Salina Street in the Monterey area. Traffic collision, State Road 25 near Hunter Lane, southbound in the Hollister-Gilroy area. CHP is helping out with some construction. 156 at County Road 1. And it is about 64 degrees here at KSCO. Up next, Off the Lip Radio Show.
Opinions expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Good evening, and welcome to Off the Lip, the show about surfing and skateboarding. If you'd like to join the show tonight, give us a call at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, here are your hosts for tonight's program, Neil Pearlberg and Terry Campion.
Good evening and welcome to the Off the Lip Radio Show, broadcasting right here from KSCO. You can also watch it live on Facebook with Santa Cruz Waves if you'd like to. TC.
We just went live.
We did?
Yes.
Okay. Two things. We've never had a guy in studio who's got 4 stars in his collar.
True.
B, we've never had a guy here with a gun on his hip.
Yeah, that you know of.
that's true. That we know. Does Nova carry a gun?
I don't know, but he's definitely packing tonight. What is that gun, by the way?
It's a Glock 40 cal.
Glock. Yeah. That's the.
Is that the bad boy?
No,
it's mediocre.
Yeah, there's a lot more powerful weapons out there.
It just Clint Eastwood comes to mind with just the.
Well, he's that big 44 Magnum, right? Is that what that is?
Yeah. He wants to introduce you to Mr. Smith.
I think
Mr.
his gun fired blanks. Honestly, I don't know.
In studio tonight, we are here to welcome to our beautiful town. That's what we're doing tonight. Welcoming the new chief of police here in Santa Cruz, Chief Andy Mills. So I definitely want to thank him for coming in the studio because he's been kissing babies for the last, since you got here.
I've got more stuff on my hands from shaking hands than you can possibly screen for.
Yeah, I went for the bump.
Straight to nothing? Is that what you did?
I went for the bump. I know he's been shaking a lot of hands.
That's great.
But we want to welcome you to the show.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I just wanted to introduce you to the surf and skate community, which is very important. But first of all, I want to know about one person that's in your life. You ready?
Which one?
Mr. Smiley. Your grandson.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I'm trying to think which one. Mr. Smiley.
Is he your latest grandson?
Yeah.
Is he the newest addition?
He is. It's Andrew Granville, and he's down in San Diego. In fact, we haven't seen him yet. So in the near future.
Oh, you haven't even seen him yet?
No.
Brand new.
Brand spanking new.
Wow. Congrats.
And, we'll go down and take a look at him. And
yeah.
Do you have a grandpa name?
No.
You don't have... Oh.
Grandpa, you know.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning and had rocks in my bed. I thought, what the heck is that? My granddaughter's here. And I said,
oh, she is?
Florence, what's this? And she said, oh, I put those there for you.
Thanks a lot. Thoughtful.
Yeah, thank you.
TC, where do you want to go?
Well, first off, you just finished up a career in Eureka, California.
Right.
Right.
And I feel like both being coastal towns.
Yeah.
Kind of one fire to the next.
Yeah. From the fire into the frying pan or vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, I started actually in San Diego for 30 years. And then one of the commands I had was Ocean Beach. And when you see a bumper sticker on cars, like, you know, coexistence and peace and all that kind of stuff, you see three bumper stickers, Ocean Beach, Santa Cruz, and Humboldt County.
Right.
And so I just figured I'd get the trifecta here.
Yeah,
and,
you're right. Ocean Beach is close to the beach flats in Santa Cruz to, I guess, downtown Eureka.
Exactly. It's same problems, same type of community for the most part. I mean, there's some significant differences, but it's these are fun communities.
How long have you been doing this?
A long time. I started in 1977 as a
rookie,
as a deputy.
Yeah.
Driving a boat with a competition water ski and scuba tanks in it.
Doing what?
Why did I leave that job?
No,
exactly.
Kidding. Oh,
like,
man.
You're kidding. There's probably chicks on that job.
There were.
I had hair down to my shoulders and a puka shell necklace and was skating. So it was like.
Yeah, why did you come here? I mean, why didn't you take some kind of passive, nice little quiet town that you can kind of head off into the sunset? Why did you come down here and want to tackle what we've got?
I got fire in my belly. This is a...
You got some left.
Oh, yeah. This is... You're 60.
I'm same age as you. I got fire left. Yeah, plenty.
Yeah. And so I'm not ready to be done. To me, this is a competition. And can we outthink and outmaneuver and outwork those that would seek to destroy our community? And so I'm all about getting in the saddle and getting going as fast as we possibly can.
Well, I mean, that's must be the case because how successful you are. What's different between 1970 and today? What was like the biggest problem then versus maybe what you might see today?
You know, first of all, it was a different community, and I was in Branch County, Michigan, Coldwater, and then went to Battle Creek, Michigan, which is a pretty small city, and mental health problems just started then because that's when they got rid of all the mental health institutions right about that time. And we were running into some of these same problems, but it was the beginning of what we see today. And it's interesting, we were talking about this ahead of time. You know, neither one of the presidential candidates addressed these significant issues that we're facing. Mental health is a crisis in our nation, and we really got to figure out how to deal with it, other than abdicating to the local police.
Right. No, I'm 100% agreement.
You've got to bring that up, TC, what President Trump said today.
No, it wasn't today, you and I were talking about this earlier today. The other day he was addressing, I guess you might say the country, and he, in front of some police officer, encouraged, like, roughing up people.
Yeah, he did.
And you are the most professional police officer I know. How would you take that message?
Well, I was disturbed about two things. One, that you have a sitting president talk about slamming people's heads into car doors. That was terrible. And if I had somebody do that, I'd fire him. And then the second thing is you got about 200 police officers standing behind him clapping.
Golf clap,
you know, right. Whether it's polite or not, that'd be the time to say, I'm not clapping. That's wrong. And I tweeted out that he might want to have the attorney general discuss with him qualified immunity.
Absolutely.
So qualified immunity is what you don't get if you do something intentional. And that's how people wind up owning your homes and your pensions and your cars and all that kind of thing. So I can't think of a cop in his right mind or her right mind that would even think about something like that.
Right.
Yeah, that's crossing the line.
Right. You know, our mantra is you see something, you own it. Mm-hmm. So if you see another cop do something like that, you own it, like the person who did it. And it's a big sea change from 1977 when I started. I saw some stuff in 77 in Michigan. You know, that I thought, okay, I want no part of this.
Pre-cell phone and dash cams?
Yeah, pre-cell cell phone.
Yeah.
We still had rotary dials.
Absolutely.
You have the gig. So you were sworn in yesterday, so you have the gig. Can I ask you why the city didn't hire from within? Is there a reason for that?
Well, it's a competitive process.
Okay.
And I think that there are some very capable people inside.
Yeah.
And But when you sit down, you go through this process and you wind up, taking a look at a lot of people, I think it became more of an issue of, well, what's the best for the city, not just the agency, in terms of timing and fit. So it fell to me, and I'll work with those inside, and I'm sure they'll work hard with me to make sure that we do what's best for the city.
He's a surfer, too.
I know.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know if you qualify as a surfer.
No, you want you surf, you surf.
Well, you appreciate you... it. It's not based on ability. It's the lifestyle and the appreciation of
it. Let's put it this way. I know just enough not to drop in on the wrong people.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. Well, you know, I was telling Neil this earlier, is that I think an ally to the police force in this town is the surf community.
Yeah.
I mean, they are so protective of the environment, of the community. They're very close when tragedy strikes. I mean, it's an amazing community and very very protective of Santa Cruz,
which can be an asset to the police department.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I agree. And you have a it's nice knowing, and it's nice to be able to relay to the public of Santa Cruz that the new chief appreciates the surf community.
Well, you know, as we were talking a little bit earlier, and there's this whole idea, academic idea, called collective efficacy, where the closer a community is and the more they work with one another and take care of each other, the lower correlation of crime. Now, you think of neighborhood, but you can also think of a community such as the surf community or the theater community or whatever community. Mm-hmm. So I think that's vitally important that people look out for one another's best interests and take care of each other and raise the level of civility. And that also works, as you said, the same for the environment. When I came from Humboldt, they were literally destroying rivers and streams for the purpose of illegal grows.
Right.
And so, you know, more people need to speak out and protect the community as the community and protect the environment as well as reduce crime.
Okay. If you want to call in tonight, the phone number here is 831-479-1080 if you want to call in with a question for Chief Mills. But I ask you to be respectful.
Absolutely.
And
please
be respectful. Sure. Yeah. And if you're going to say something, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. Just please give us a call and be respectful of Chief Mills' position. He's brand new. He's a rookie. So give me a little leeway, please. This is Neil and TC. Oh, by the way, this portion of the show is brought to you by Santa Cruz Toyota.
Woo!
From Julie. And Julie goes, Julie sent me a text. She goes, is he married?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yep, Julie.
Yeah, 37 years.
Okay. Do you drive a Toyota?
I don't, but, you know, I have.
Okay.
Okay, so Santa Cruz Toyota, corner 41st and Highway 1. You know, Julie, but she took care of you.
Everybody.
She took care of Tricia. I think she's working a Novak, too.
Anyone listening, go get a car.
From Julie.
There you go.
It's Neil TC here with Chief Andy Mills. We'll be right back off this commercial. Please don't go away.
Hey, Dave Lostalot here, commercial insurance broker with A&B Insurance in Santa Cruz. We've all heard the old adage, you get what you pay for. Well, insurance is no different because it's not always about the premium, but it's always about the coverage. So if you're a business owner that wants to learn more about what you've got covered, give me a call at 831-345-4685. And remember, before you lose a lot, call Lostalot. Dave Lostalot at 831-345-4685.
For boaters, fishermen, surfers, and ocean lovers, we need to know what's happening at the coast. Digital information about tides and waves is available via smartphones, tablets, and computers, but there's nothing fun, natural, or beautiful about it. We created WaveClock to marry digital information with old-world instrumentation to provide real-time data on tides and waves in a beautiful piece of functional art. We're joining forces with local Santa Cruz artisans, Ventana Surfboards and Supplies, Wet Feet Photography, and PPD Multimedia to develop amazing Kickstarter awards. Join our Kickstarter campaign and be a part of the story. Search for WaveClock on Kickstarter.com and download the free WaveClock app on iTunes or Google Play Store to see the ocean in a new way.
This is Numa and Isaac from Aloha Island Grill. Well, summer's right around the corner here in Santa Cruz, and that means one thing. It's time to come get your grind on at the Aloha Island Grill.
Come over to Aloha Island Grill and eat some food.
We're located on the corner of Portola and 17th Avenue, and we've got a beautiful lanai for you to come sit out on. We've got a fine assortment of plate lunch, fresh ahi poke, and other wonderful treats for you to enjoy.
My favorite food at Aloha Island Grill is Kalua Pig.
We've got ice-cold beer and wine for those hot summer days. And try some of our homemade POG, Passion Orange Guava Juice. It's delicious. For to-go orders, give us a call at 479-3299. Find us on the web at AlohaIslandGrill.com or come on down to 1700 Portola Drive. Aloha Island Grill is a proud member of Think Local First.
That was code 5.
Wait, I never seen you run so fast.
We're back. I had to go check on something real quick.
Good job.
You know what? There's a friend of mine, this young kid that I know, and Gabe. I'm saying this is for Gabe. Okay, he has a question. He's is an apprentice police officer. What's his term?
Cadet.
He's a cadet.
Okay.
With Capitol. It's very into it, you know. And
yeah.
He's going. I said, and he works at the golf course where I play at. And he's like, you got the chief coming on. I go, yeah. He goes, I got a question for the chief. Would you mind asking about body cams? He wants to talk. He asked me about body cams. Do you use them? Do you have them? Are they? How do you use them?
Yeah, we are doing a pilot project in Santa Cruz right now, but I implemented them in full. Entire department in Eureka, and San Diego was just getting them as I was leaving. It's changing the way policing looks. Not only are you accountable for everything you do, but more importantly, other people can see it.
Yeah.
So it's changing the way policing is. Now, the downside is it's also removing the anonymity for people who are having their worst day. So when you're having your worst day, we're capturing that video. And then if the right circumstances take place, that's going to be
reality TV has hit everybody getting arrested or having a conflict.
Yeah, and now every time we do a shoot, we do video, so every contact you push the button is turned on.
Yeah.
And now it's got to go to court, which means they have to have people to download it.
Yeah,
I mean it's really increasing the staffing, increasing the budget, and all that kind of stuff. But I think it's the right thing to do.
And making your job easier or harder?
I don't think it really changes the nature of the job.
Right.
It's just hard muscle memory wise to push that button every time you're getting out of the car.
Right.
It also seems like it'd be a great tool in court.
It is.
Because, you know,
evidence.
I mean, we all know that that's the greatest truth is in video.
Right. Well, the hard part is it's two dimensional, not three dimensional. And people think that because you have this camera, it's going to be like watching a TV, of live TV or cops or something. Well, it's not. You don't have a guy with a big camera on a pressurized thing that moves around.
Right.
Which, you know, a lot of times you'll see is the hands go in front of
the camera
so you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
So we've experimented with cameras that you can put lower but adjust the lens
angle.
Higher, the angle higher. But then that's bad because sometimes they get out of the car and knock it. And now it's shooting right down at the ground when a critical incident is going on. So it's not perfect technology, but it's far better than what we had in the past.
It seemed I was watching, reading something where I said the first 100 days of the presidency is the most important. What do you have a plan for like the first 100 days of your gig?
I do.
Can you
share it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Can you go down and see Neil and TC, catch a couple of waves?
Yeah. I'm going to paddle out every morning.
Yeah, why not?
So the first 100 days, I want to get in touch physically as many people as I can.
Yeah.
Talk with them, understand what the issues are here in Santa Cruz and the surrounding areas, because I think Santa Cruz touches more than just the city itself. It really influences a lot of other neighborhoods as well, Live Oak, Capitola, and so forth.
It's the
county seat.
Yeah.
So I want to interview as many people as I can, pull as much data as that we possibly can to understand, and then formulate a leadership plan to move this department and the city forward in terms of dealing with some of these problems that we're facing.
Right.
And so once we get that leadership plan in place, I will announce it to everybody. I'll put it on our Facebook, on transparency again, so people can give us their opinion and feedback on it.
Right.
But it also includes sitting down with every single police officer in my department.
Yeah.
And listening to them and see what they need and what I can do to help them.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of interviews. I'm taking copious notes and working through some of these issues.
Is there somebody directly, like, I guess the next in command that you work with to create something like that, or is it?
Oh, no, that'll be me.
That's just you.
We'll work on it together.
Well, being a police officer has to be one of the hardest jobs.
It is tough.
It really is a tough job, especially in today's world.
Because there's a rift. There's a rift nationally that needs to be healed. It's not with the fire department. It's not with the other agencies. It's with the police department. And is this something that you think you can heal?
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday during my speech. But here's the issue.
Yeah.
When events go beyond the capability of government, go beyond the capability of mental health, go beyond the capability of families, go beyond the capability of whoever.
Yeah.
There's only one person left to call 24 hours a day, and that's
right.
A cop.
Right.
So now I've got some 24-year-old guy or gal who has very little life experience going to deal with something that a PhD couldn't fix.
Right.
And so now we expect this guy at 3 o'clock in the morning with a guy screaming wildly with a K-bar knife out in an alley to say, I'm going to fix this for you, or I'm going to try to do less damage than others may.
Yeah.
So we're not perfect, certainly, but we have to do better in policing in doing two things. One is figuring out how to solve those problems. So I've already tasked one of my lieutenants, Christian Lamas, to put together what we call tactical de-escalation training. So the ability to go to those situations at 3 a.m. and figure out a way not to have to use lethal force in whatever they need in terms of technology, equipment, weapon systems. I don't care what it is, I will get for them.
Yeah.
And then, so that's stage one. The second stage is how do you fix these people? And I don't believe that answer is there on the county side, the mental health side. They're trying, but they just are not
so easy. Limited.
There's just not easy answers. So those two things have to be in place together. So we're already working on that training.
Yeah.
And I think that will go a long way to heal that rift so that we don't have to use lethal levels of force. And the second piece of that is when we do use force that's inappropriate, police officers need to speak out. And I need to speak out. And I told them that yesterday, that when we do things that are inappropriate, whether it's locally or nationally, I'm going to speak out because I want to ensure the integrity of policing.
Right.
That's more important than anybody's feelings.
Right. Well, we had a couple. I'm sure you've been briefed. We had a couple of really rough situations this year. One guy with the rake and a kid that was having a bad night and lethal force was used. And I love the suggestion because I always say to myself, isn't there some other weapon, I guess, or tool that could prevent that? Now, I know in your situation, it is 1/100th of a second you have to decide what to do.
Right.
And I don't want to do that job. I'm scared. But there, see, I always seem like, there some like blob that just knocks? Good night, It's something, and that's a tough situation.
Well, there's departments that are experimenting with all kinds of different weapon systems and tools. I know one department is carrying portable water cannons that shoot it at such a high PSI that can knock a grown man down.
Right.
Well, so there are things out there, but the question is we got to be better at understanding, find out where those are.
Right.
And I made a commitment. You find that, I'll send you to that department. I don't care where it is. I don't care if it's in the UK we talked about earlier here. Because whatever we can do to save lives is worth the money to me.
Right. And the mental health, let's go back to that. Mm-hmm. It's gotten so bad that you're dealing with people that you don't know. They don't even know what they're doing.
It's like putting a can over your head, a trash can, and have somebody beat it with a stick.
Yeah.
And then you try to talk to that person. They're not hearing you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can give them all the verbal commands you want. So, put the gun down. They're not going to hear you because they're hearing that voice in their head. And so we have to be better at figuring out how to get them to hear us.
Right.
And how to calm the situation down. We call it 3 T's, time, talk, and tactics. Give it more time and to get those windows where you can talk to them and then use your tactical superiority to get this thing down.
You're listening right now to the Off-Lit Radio Show right here on KSCO AM 1080. It's on FM, too, I think, 107.9.
104.1 on FM,
Who knows what the heck it is? just push seek. Stop pushing. Facebook Live, though, you can watch this
It's great. I'm just changing scenes right now, and there you are.
Facebook Live with Santa Cruz.
Yes, it looks
waves.
Great. And, on Facebook Live, too, I'm showing right now, we have a live cam of the beach. It's beautiful. The sun is setting, so you can watch the sunset as well.
What do you got, notes?
Are we going to commercial break?
No, we're not.
Well, I just wanted to know.
I want to go. I got a question.
Go.
How did you address the men and women of the Santa Cruz Police Force?
How did I address them?
Yeah. I mean, how did you, your first speech to them and, okay, guys, this is what we're going to, this is what I'm about and this is what I'm going to go do.
Yeah, I sent them an email when I found out I got this job because it was kind of an awkward thing.
Did they have a say in, did the police department have a, the police force itself have a say in who was hired or no?
The selection process, there were four different groups, committees that we had to talk to, and they interviewed us.
Right.
One of those committees had a representative of the Police Officers Association on it.
And what put you over the top to get the job?
My charm.
But you know what's funny is I was thinking the other day, when you first told me we were going to have the chief on here, I'm like, man, I wonder if he's bummed when he had to come down here and see what real estate is.
Oh, man.
You know, it's...
We sold our house up there, and we sold our houses in San Diego, and you know, so San Diego's more of a competitive climate with here.
Right.
But we sold our house up there. We had, this is embarrassing, but we had 4,000 square feet because we wanted to have our kids to be able to come up and stay with us, which they couldn't do because of the frickin' roads.
Yeah.
We sold our house, moved down here, looked at a house less than half that size for twice as much money.
Yeah. And doesn't have bear in the front yard.
It doesn't have a freaking bear in the front yard. You know, and then we put a full price offer and they're like, really?
Yeah, right.
Get out of here.
You're
kidding,
right? Do you have all cash, too?
Yeah, exactly. Not even close.
Step up, dude.
This market. Well, I thought about that. I was like, I wonder if he had some real estate shock. No, what I brought with me, and I didn't know if you saw this, but there was a...
I haven't seen notes from you in a while.
No, this is actually...
I'm a little scared right now.
This is was an editorial in yesterday's paper.
Oh.
And I don't know if you did. Do you read the Sentinel?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you saw this one, but I just want to read real quick. Take
you want
a second.
My glasses?
I would love your glasses. Thank you. I do need those.
Oh, I'm gonna get a picture of this.
Last Thursday evening, this is out of the Santa Cruz Sentinel editorial. It's from Denise Darnell of Aptos. Last Thursday evening, my husband and I decided to go downtown for a date night. We decided to walk around until music and dancing began. We walked along the upper part of Pacific Avenue and at almost every other step, panhandlers laid with all their belongings, animals, and drugs. My husband commented that it looked like Skid Row, and it really did. We decided to leave, so frustrated with the state of our downtown area, which should be overflowing with tourists and their families at that time in summer. I am hopeful that the new police chief can act quickly. We are destroying the values of our property investments and this future of this town by being so tolerant. Not once in our hour walk did we see a police officer. Only panhandlers and drug users. Please stop this madness. And I know you're familiar with this type of situation because you dealt with it in your gig up north. It seems to me like that's a real concern of our community right now. Is that situation. And it goes back to, I know, with mental health and having the tools, but is that a focus of what you're going to be looking at, you think?
It certainly will be. I mean, we'll put out some surveys to kind of try to measure what the community wants us to focus on, because here's one of the problems we're having. We get people calling in all the time with these significant issues and problems and want immediate police response. Well, we get that. But at what point and where do you say, okay, this is our priority? You can't do all of this all at once. We don't have 50 officers working a night. We don't have 20 officers working a night. We don't have 10 officers working a night.
Limited, very limited.
And so if you get one critical incident, you get a shooting, how many officers does it take to handle that?
Right.
And
in the meantime, there's six UCSC parties that are raging out of control.
And I get it that some next door neighbor is saying, hey, where are you at? Mm-hmm. And this is 2 o'clock in the morning, this thing's still raging, and we have to go back two or three times. Then you got a guy kicking the wall, like I was on the way to work this morning, some guy was kicking a wall. So there's all these things. So there are solutions to this. The issue becomes this. We have to police with passion, but at the same time, be compassionate. And you can't just go in here, and we're not going to enforce our way out of this problem. There is no room in the jail. The residents of the state of California, the voters have said multiple times, we do not want to put people in jail. AB 109, Prop 47, Prop 57.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I can figure out where the community is headed with this.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to find other ways to do that. And I think that there are those ways to leverage behavior and make sure that when people walk into this town, they see a great community. I do want to say this, though. This is a fantastic community with unlimited upside.
Right.
That's why I chose to come here. And, I mean, right now, if you go down to San Diego, just east of Petco Park, thousands of homeless.
Oh, yes.
Skid Row.
Right.
Tens of thousands of homeless. San Francisco.
Santa Barbara.
I mean, it's everywhere right now.
Right. It's rampant.
So yeah. we need to give immediate relief but find these bigger solutions to these problems. And I'm willing to work with literally anybody who's willing to collaborate, you know, work with us, think these things through, make things happen. But I just want to throw out one caution. Talk is cheap.
Right.
You know, yeah. A lot of people want to come and give me their opinion. They walk out the door and not put any sweat equity into it.
Right.
And I'll listen to them, and I'll certainly consider it, but I'm much more interested in working with those who work with me.
Interesting thing, too, is our county, from what I understand, has one of the lenient DAs in the state of California, too. And sometimes that's a
Well, they're walking on a fine line as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a tough situation sometimes in this county because we do have problems with the jail.
Right.
You know, and that's I think every community has that problem right now. We have a rampant opiate problem.
Well, Steve Gagnon runs a jail.
Yeah, our friend runs a jail. Yeah, it's a tough time.
Right.
I mean, like I said, your job, man.
There's a lot of balls in the air, but, you know, and on behalf of the DA and the sheriff, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know these guys. I literally shook their hand for the first time yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we have, you know, lunches scheduled and all that kind of thing. But so you have this. You have all these heavy crimes. What do you want to take to trial?
Mm-hmm.
A murder, an armed robbery, a rape, a domestic violence thing, or a guy laying on the sidewalk?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you want in the jail? Last week, we arrested a couple of guys for attempted murder. They had three guns, one which was a slam hammer made into a shotgun. They had a bunch of pounds of weed, and then they had a quarter of a pound of crack cocaine and a pound of cocaine to make into crack cocaine.
Wow.
And 36,000 in buckets, literally buckets of cash. And my detectives did a great follow-up, wrote search warrants, got in the homes, got all that stuff. So who do we want in jail?
That guy.
That's who I don't want on the street.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm not making a value judgment on marijuana or anything like that.
No.
That's not the point. But this is a violent guy. Yep. I want them out of my community.
Thank you.
And, we talked about that the other guy where they cut the guy's tongue out.
And the eyeball and all that.
Okay, I want that guy out of the...
And I agree. You know, I am in disagreement that a guy that's on the sidewalk and had maybe too much of a personal dose.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is the guy that got him the personal dose is driving around with a car full of drugs. And I'm with you on that 100%.
Right.
That guy just cannot be slapped on the hand and put back to work.
Yeah.
That's his job.
Yeah.
And when he gets out of jail, he's going back to his job. And I truly believe that that's a big problem with this town.
Can I get your thoughts on the needle exchange ordinance?
Sure. I'm in favor of harm reduction personally.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to see the continued spread of AIDS and Hep C and all this in dirty needles does that. And my folks are at risk because when they're touching people, you know, there's blood transfer. You're fighting with people. It's a bloody mess. No pun intended. And my daughter is a social media manager for the AIDS Healthcare Foundation.
Right.
And one of her, you know, her jobs is to educate people. So I'm in favor of that, but here's where I think we need to do a better job, and I'd like more data on it, is to say, I'm giving out 20 needles to you. I want 30 back because there's way too many needles all over the place. You go to parks and playgrounds and things like that. I think we can leverage that and say, hey, give me 30, I'll give you 20.
Right.
And I think there's some different things we can do, and I don't want to enable by doing tie-offs and cotton balls and spoons and all that kind of stuff. That doesn't make sense.
So historically, previously, it was the opposite here.
Right.
We had an opposite program. It was like you brought one and you got 20 back. You know?
It was
like
ridiculous.
A crazy number.
And
I had a friend who stepped on a needle and had to go on pre-HIV drugs, and it was a terrible situation.
Yeah,
you know? So I'm glad to see that that's a policy that you'd like to work on.
Okay. If you listen to the Off-It Radio Show right here on KSCO, got to thank a couple people for sponsoring the show. Lighthouse Bank.
Excellent.
You know, John Sisko's going to want – John Sisko's the president of Lighthouse Bank downtown. He's going to want the chief drive around there a couple more times.
There could be a lunch date right there.
Right?
Yeah. Number five bank in the country.
That's right.
You're going to be rappelling headfirst off the side of that building.
What's
the Australian rappel.
Hey, John.
Yeah. Thanks, John, from Lighthouse Bank for sponsoring the show. So People's Coffee right there, 17th and Bromer. Curtis.
Thank you, Curtis.
On the way downtown, stop by and grab some rocket fuel. I had some the other day. I'm like,
I bet the chief gets free coffee there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might have tried it then, you know.
People's coffee, yeah.
17th and Bromer. I want to thank Dan. I want to thank Dave Bruno, Ocean 76.
Probably gets free coffee there, too.
Probably, but I know he's glad that he's in. He's the guy who deals with the, the Sentinel word. Houselessness.
No, the new word.
The new word.
Yeah.
Houselessness. That's new.
Extra
he deals with all those people down there at his gas station on the corner of Ocean and Water at the Ocean 76. Thanks, Dave, sponsoring the show. And Jeff Winterholder from North Bay Ford. Yeah, the chief's driving a Ford.
He is driving
a company Ford.
I drive a Ford.
He's driving a company Ford.
There you go,
Julie,
Jeff.
Julie's going to get a tag out of nowhere.
Yep, Jeff, he drives a Ford.
Neil and TC are here with Chief Andy Mills. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Brett Timmy.
And Claire from Claire's Corner at Pono Hawaiian Grill.
Featuring wraps, teriyaki bowls, plate lunches, amazing and creative salads, vegetarian and gluten-free options, and over 20 different types of poke, all made to order, fast, fresh, and healthy. And what's your favorite, Kaleo?
The chicken fingers.
Located at 120 Union Street in downtown Santa Cruz. Call us for takeout at 831-426-PONO. Or check us out on the web at PonoHawaiianGrill.com. We put the ono in Pono.
Hi, this is Steve Pereira, the beach guy at Bailey Properties in Santa Cruz. We've been selling beach homes along the coast since 1982, and we'd love to help you. Remember, nobody knows the turf near the surf better. Give us a call, and we'd be happy to show you some beach homes. 831-818-7064. Give my wife, Diane, a call, or myself at 831-818-7064, and we'll be happy to get you started.
Hey, this is Fig from Surf City Sandwich. We offer the finest handcrafted sandwiches in the county with unique and interesting flavor combinations sure to satisfy. Our motto, go fresh or go home, means we take the quality of our food very seriously. Fresh local bread and produce is delivered to us each day, so you can be sure you are eating the finest grinds in town, like our famous Johnny Utah, Surf City Philly, or Chicken Cowabunga. We also have killer burgers. There's a micro tap room with 8 rotating taps featuring some of the top local brewers in Santa Cruz. Located at the north end of 41st Avenue in the Soquel Tower Plaza. Call us for takeout at 346-6952 and check out our new website for online ordering at surfcitysandwich.com.
Troy Freeman here from Tuna Shapes. I have 27 years custom shaping experience here locally, doing all different shapes and sizes, several models to choose from, or create your own. All boards get top-notch glass at the Stretch Factory. You can also roll into the Buell Shop to check some out. I'm not on social media. I'm pretty much a dinosaur. But you can reach me at 831-345-2868 or t.free@charter.net. I have no Facebook, no website, and I'm not in the phone book. So there you go. God knows
I tried. And we're back with the off date. But I sure want to thank Troy Freeman there from Troy Freeman Shapes.
Yeah,
no
Troy.
No Facebook, no Instagram. He's a dinosaur, he said.
So if you want to buy a board from Troy, what do you do? Smoke signals? What do you got to do?
Just, you know what? His phone number's on there. Or we can guess.
NP at KSCO.com.
NP at KSCO. I'll hook him up, you know. Right now we got Herbert from, I think, SoCal. Herbert, you there?
Yes, I'm here. I have a couple questions.
Go right ahead.
Okay, first off, why can't we just promote somebody within that already knows the problem instead of going out to Eureka to
get
the guy?
We talked about that. Okay.
Okay. Oh, excuse me. Why can't this guy who's the police chief of Santa Cruz live in Santa Cruz instead of Capitola?
Okay.
And another thing I want to say is,
does it make a difference where he lives, really?
Yeah, he should live in Santa Cruz. It does make a difference, Neil. Hello. Okay.
Right.
Here's what else I got to say. You know what? When the police don't enforce the crimes, like petty crimes going on, then it escalates everything. When there's a crazy guy riding the wrong way with his bicycle down the street, eating a sandwich, yelling at people, going the wrong way, and the police go right by him and do nothing, well, you know what? That's why I like to go to Palm Springs and stuff, because you know what? People that pull crap like that, they roll them out right then. That's what we need to start doing. What is this guy going to do about all the bike thieves going out in our town?
Okay, well, he just got here, so...
Well, could he address that?
I hope that guy doesn't get a DUI.
Herbert. Herbert.
Well, hey, you know...
Can I say something?
Sure.
I'm not Herbert's bro.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, he did call
you
bro.
And I got to ask the serious questions.
Well, and first off...
What's your sign?
What do you mean?
What's your sign? You Aquarius?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm asking the serious questions.
Yeah, okay. I'm an Aries.
Okay, there we go. There you go, Herbert.
I'll unpack a couple of those.
Sure.
I don't live in Santa Cruz. I tried hard, including like we were talking during the break, on the air last time.
Yeah.
Putting a full price offer in a house and was told no.
Right.
So we looked all over. We had a realtor who's a former mayor. I mean, we looked hard.
Right.
And long story short, we couldn't find one, and I had to move into someplace. Now, we're only renting, so in the future, there may very well be an opportunity for us to buy a house in Santa Cruz. I would love to live in Santa Cruz.
Well, the owner of the station lives in San Francisco. Is that a problem?
Well,
should be living in Santa Cruz?
Well, I want to know what the problems are and experience them firsthand. I get that, but this isn't exactly, you know, 100 miles away.
Right.
I mean, I'm there 10 hours a day.
Right.
You're like a mile. You're a mile away
from
being in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
So I get that. And
the bike thieves.
The bike thieves. It's out of control here in town, and
It is out of control in town. So I think that it's going to take a couple of things. One is it's going to take us doing some proactive work to try to pin their ears back, and bring a reduction on that. Second thing is people really need to think about crime prevention. And, you know, if it's just like people breaking into cars. You walk down the street and you look in cars by.
I heard you say that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, 10 out of the 10 cars, 8 have stuff worth stealing visible.
Right.
Well, I wish you could leave your firstborn child in the front seat of your car and be there when you get back, but that's not the society we live in.
Right.
And so you have to – it takes both. And we'll work on that with the community.
Well, you know, speaking of bikes, you see that Jimbo got his bike back.
I know. Jimbo, I talked to Chief about that.
Yeah, that was a great. That was community policing itself.
Remember, I got my surfboard stolen last year, my paddleboard.
Right, exactly, and you got it back. Facebook was an amazing tool.
Facebook, they put it back in the same place it was stolen.
Have you seen? Are you on social media, Chief?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
There's Take Back Santa Cruz. Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with that Facebook page, but you know, as much as I do read that, and as much as there is like bad news, there's a lot of good news on there too, where people will find things they lost or help somebody in need or prevent a crime. And I always say, like, that's community.
Yeah.
You know, like, it takes a community to police ourselves. I mean, we have to police our town too.
Right.
You know, I'm not talking about vigilante stuff.
No. Nope.
I'm just talking about being aware.
Well, you talked about that with the surf community. That's what we do.
Yeah. We look out for each other. And you know... the bike thing's a problem, and you're short on resources. We're short on mental health issues. We have a drug epidemic. It's not just you are not going to fix this overnight.
No,
you
but
know
if
what?
We can move the needle,
yes,
the right direction. That's what we can hope for.
Yeah.
See, you've talked about this in the past, and I want to give Chris the microphone just for a second. You talked about that your shop up at Pleasure Point. You are now seeing the problem from Santa Cruz moved. Not just – it's up in your area, too. You're talking about
– Oh, yes.
People – you're like
– Absolutely. I
zombies.
Call them zombies.
And then the
other
day, it was like a couple weeks ago, you're like, Neil, you know what? I'm ready to leave this town. I'm like –
Well, I had a bad day.
You had a bad day?
Yeah. I just had to deal with like a half a dozen crazy people in one day.
Right.
And I'd say that – I don't mean crazy, but like having their problems.
But Chris –
And it was a rough day.
But Chris wanted to bring something up. Do you want to bring that up, Chris?
Yeah, yeah. I just noticed – you know, I've lived here all my life in town for 40 years, and I noticed that – previous administrations and a couple mayors too kind of bragged about the fact that they were moving the crime out of downtown. And the problem with that to me is that if you move it out of downtown, you're moving out all over town. Downtown moves uptown. And a lot of residents like myself that have lived here all of our life, we're seeing that. People are seeing these people are panhandling on and on looking for money for their issues. They're stealing bikes and so on. So
right.
I was just wondering, you know, how
How's
it's very complicated,
that?
Yeah, like, because Santa Cruz is kind of like this starting point where people go, and then they're milling all, even in Aptos, there's people panhandling.
Let the chief answer that.
Okay.
Okay.
So, rather than just talk about panhandling, I think the bigger issue is displacement. So, if you do a type of criminal justice intervention,
yeah.
You get displacement to other locations.
Yeah.
And how do you prevent that? And so that has become part of the response of what we're going to do. And when you just do strict enforcement, sometimes you get displacement to other places because they're going to seek the least painful place possible, not in terms of pain, but you know, where they're not getting contacted. And so that becomes part of the discussion of what we're going to do. And that's why you need to be very thoughtful about, you know, how you're doing this. But this is a problem everywhere. And do we not give relief? Do we not try? No, I think we got to continue to try.
Right.
Even though there may be just some displacement attached to it.
So you kind of alluded to it earlier than when you were talking, kind of what my question was, is you can't throw everybody in jail and you have to be passionate about
and compassionate.
And dealing with people. And just real quick, just to sum it
make
up.
Make it quick.
One thing, a lot of crime I've noticed isn't being published in the paper. I'm seeing it. I'm hearing it from people. But it's not being published. And I'm wondering, is it a due to lost tourist revenue? Because I think, you know, the community should be together and we should all be able to know what's going on.
I think I can answer that, too. Mm-hmm. It's like we know the 30 sharks out there every day. Well, right, we know there's 30 shark, great white sharks out there every day, but we're not putting it in the paper and letting people know.
Well, and also the paper is a business, and every square inch costs money, and they're not making money off printing the petty crime section. So I think that's an issue in itself.
Well, I don't mean petty crime though. I mean there's big things that have happened around town that nobody's knowing about.
Oh, yeah. We get a break real quick. One more break? Okay, we got more break. We're gonna come back with Chief Andy Mills. I want to thank you guys for listening. Check us out on Facebook Live right now with Santa Cruz Waves, or okay, right here on KSCO 104.1.
Hey, Dave here from Kayak Connection. Looking for a fun family activity on the water? We've got the perfect venues and equipment that's just right for kids and novices. And for the experienced paddler out there, we've got the cutting-edge gear. With both paddleboard and kayak rentals, tours, lessons, and retail in the Santa Cruz Harbor and Moss Landing's famed Elkhorn Slough, you can't go wrong with Kayak Connection. Maybe take a romantic starlight tour with us in the Elkhorn Slough and be amazed as the water beneath you glows with each paddle stroke. Or a wildlife tour in Santa Cruz where you'll see otters, seals, and maybe even a humpback whale. An experience of a lifetime, I guarantee it. Come experience for yourself or with friends and family the paradise of Monterey Bay's phenomenal marine life. Visit us today on Facebook or kayakconnection.com or call us at 831-479-1121.
Attention surfers and paddleboarders. Don't let cold water or cold air take you out of the water for 5 to 6 weeks. Protect your ear canals with custom-made earplugs. The Listening Stack in Capitola is now offering custom earplugs molded to fit your ears perfectly, comfortably protecting your ear canals from the harsh elements of the Pacific Ocean. Stop messing with universal earplugs that don't work and try something that does. Mention Off the Lip Radio and receive an extra $20 off any custom molded earplugs in our store. The Listening Stack is located at the corner of Capitola Avenue at 41st. Listening Stack. Protect, enhance, enjoy. 831-498-9890.
Chill Out Cafe on 41st Avenue Santa Cruz is not just a block from some of the world's best surf, but it is also where you can go relax and order the tastiest grub before and after your sesh. Plump burritos, fresh salads, sky-high sandwiches, and a superb selection of hot and cold drinks. They have something for you. Go to chilloutcafesantacruz.com to view their menu. And to place your order to go, call 831-477-0543. Chill Out Cafe, where they roll the fatties.
We're back with the Off the Lip Radio Show right here with Santa Cruz brand new police chief, Chief Andy Mills on the phone right here. We have Dave from Santa Cruz. Hi, Dave. How's it going, buddy?
It's going well, Chief. Welcome to town.
Hey, thank you, David.
Yeah, you probably have already heard from a number of people the drug situation in town, and my personal opinion is the root cause, the core of the issue is the dealers, the drug dealers in the town. And so if we can attack and eradicate the drug dealers, the petty thefts go away, the homeless problem improves, a lot of the homeless, you know, are on drugs. So the question I have, there was a recent bust here in town where $36,000 in cash, you know, was confiscated.
Right.
Can that money be used as a reward fund for people that provide information to help you arrest and convict the drug dealers?
Thanks, Dave, for calling. We can take that off the air. Really appreciate your question.
That's a great question.
Yeah, there's real strict federal guidelines on what the money can be used for.
Right.
You cannot use it for rewards, but we can use it for other things to get that information.
Okay.
Like informants and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, and I don't have a good sense at this point how much money we have in those accounts, and it's a long process to be able to seize that money, and people regularly fight it. And,
right. Is there an anonymous hotline at the Santa Cruz Police Department?
I believe that there is.
Yeah, because that seems like a little along those
one
lines.
One question. That's I think it's important. Cynthia Chase is the mayor here in town, mm-hmm. and you know the city council is I shouldn't say a lot to deal with, but it's that's the situation in itself. Did she have a laundry list of stuff that she was prepared that she gave you, and how can you is there a rift, or can you guys work together, do you think, to solve whatever was on that laundry list? Or did you just shake your head and go, you got to be kidding me, this more than I had, you know?
You know what? I sat down with the mayor, and yeah. I'm sitting down with every council person as well as the city manager's office, Martine and Tina and Scott, and interviewing them to find out what their priorities are, what their vision is for the city, because my job is to execute that vision. They're the policymakers. We make sure that the policy gets executed. She was very clear. And she was very articulate in what she saw as the need in this community, what to deal with. At this point, I have great support from council and the city manager's office. It's a high-functioning group, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, you always see differences in policy and
right.
and so forth, but I have nothing but great things to say at this point.
And you're giving access to the public to you once a week, is that correct?
Yeah, from 9 to 10:30. Anybody's welcome to come in. To the police station. I would suggest making an appointment.
Okay.
Because we have only so many segments.
Yeah.
And come in and sit down, and I don't care if they're the surf community, the skateboard, anybody.
Right. Anybody.
That's part of your transparent policy.
It's part of my transparency, and I think that you're going to see a little bit different perspective from me than most chiefs in that I honestly believe that we serve at the will of the people.
Right. Change is good.
And so for us to be effective, we have to have the community's consent.
Well, that's a great message, and I think that's the message the community wants to hear. You know, there's some bad messages right now that people are getting, and I appreciate that. Well, one point I wanted to say about that past caller is not only is it the drug dealers, it's also the pharmaceutical companies that are dealing drugs.
Right.
And that's a huge part of the problem. I mean, I own a skateboard shop, and the kids tell me for $5 you can buy an Oxycontin at a junior high school.
Right.
You know, and that's really – that to me is sickening.
That's awful.
Yeah, you know, and that's a big part of our problem we have in this community.
We have to end the show, but, to keep your sanity around here, Chief – to keep your sanity in Santa Cruz, the thing you have to do is you got to go surf.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You got to get the gills wet. Mm-hmm. You can go to work. Grab a cup of coffee at People's Coffee. And then, you know.
You and I are going to go stand up paddling together.
I would love to do that. You have a stand up paddle, but you never used it.
Well, I have used it. Yeah, I'll go out there and paddle around. No problem.
We're off to Star Bunny right down the street. We're going to see Julieta and Sergio. They feed us some great food after every Tuesday night. So if you guys are looking for a great dinner out, check out Star Benny restaurant. It's right down the street here from KSCO. Reminder, TC,
mm-hmm.
Halloween night.
Oh, we're doing a show Halloween night.
Yeah,
we got to figure out what we're going to do. We'll do something special.
Special.
And, you know,
live from downtown. Chief's going to go, oh,
Chief,
God.
Thanks for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you, Chief.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I think your message is great. I think your mission statement's great. And I really wish you the best.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Compassion.
You know, welcome to Santa Cruz. And I think that you're in a position to make a difference, and this community is going to appreciate it.
Yeah, and I hope the community supports what you do. So if you get a chance, drop him a line. He's on Facebook. He's on Instagram. He's everywhere. He's tweeting.
You can see him Monday morning, too.
Yeah, and go see him Monday morning. So Chief Andy Mills, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thanks. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
TC, mm-hmm. thank you. Chris, thanks, buddy, for putting the show together, and to KSCO for letting us do the show every night. Next week. The Beggar Kings are back.
Rolling Stones
cover band. We're going to be rocking in the house.
Those guys are great.
Tune in for that show. If you missed the show tonight, Facebook Live with Santa Cruz Waves or tomorrow on offthelitradio.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. Good night to you all. And again, thanks, Chief Andy Mills. Good luck to you, my friend.
Thanks, man. Thanks for bringing me on.
You're very welcome.
From Capitola to Carmel, Red Hot News Talk, AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
CBS News, I'm Gary Nunn. The president today sent an unusually strong response to the latest intelligence conclusion that North Korea appears to have successfully produced a small nuclear warhead that will fit inside one of its missiles.
North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire and fury.
Some reaction to the president's hardline threat.
Some lawmakers on Capitol Hill believe President Trump's comments to North Korea are making a tense situation worse. And that is coming from both sides. Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein said the president is not helping matters with his, quote, bombastic comments. And then you have Republican Senator John McCain during a radio interview suggesting President Trump was just exaggerating. But he did add, the great leaders that I've seen, they don't threaten unless they are ready to act.
CBS News correspondent Weijia Jiang. Late today, Kim Jong-un's regime said it is carefully looking at a plan to strike Guam, home to a key U.S. military base. Remembering Glenn Campbell, who died today in Nashville after a long public ordeal with Alzheimer's disease, CBS's Steve Kathan.
I've been walking these streets so long.
Glenn Campbell identified with one of his biggest hits, Rhinestone Cowboy. The song was about hustling for success, a reflection of Campbell's own life. Born to Arkansas sharecroppers, the high school dropout made his way to Hollywood, where he became a successful studio musician. His solo career took off in 1967 with
"And for hours you're just gentle on my mind."
The hits not only kept coming, he also did a TV show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Glenn Campbell.
The Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour helped make him a household name, which led to movie roles. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Glenn Campbell was 81. Actress and singer Barbara Cook has died. More than six decades in Broadway musicals and cabaret. Barbara Cook won a Tony for her role as Marion the Librarian in The Music Man. She'd been ill for some time. Cause of death, respiratory failure. Barbara Cook was 89. 28-year-old former Google engineer James Damore, who was fired over a memo that he wrote about gender differences, is fighting back. He was let go for what is called perpetuating gender stereotypes. Wired magazine editor-in-chief Nick Thompson says,
"The fact that this has caused such an uproar at Google and caused such internal debate and consternation and this reaction shows that Silicon Valley is aware of the problem."
Damore has received mixed reaction. While the debate continues on social media, some tech firms have taken steps to prevent similar episodes in their companies. Southwestern China rocked today by a magnitude 6.5 earthquake, at least 13 people dead, more than 175 injured. Wall Street, Dow Industrials down 33, NASDAQ off 13. This is CBS News.
Finding great people to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. It's time to try ZipRecruiter, where 80% of jobs get a qualified candidate in just one day. How? Using powerful technology, ZipRecruiter matches your job to the right candidates fast. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, only ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/talk for your free trial. ZipRecruiter.com/talk.
This is Charles Husband. Olivet Nazarene University believes that an education unlocks a person's potential. They believe an educated person has a positive impact on his or her community. They believe that education is not something to be contained, but imparted to the world. They believe in you. Learn more at graduate.olivet.edu. Olivet Nazarene University, where you are to where you will be.
Ford is repairing Ford Explorer SUV vehicles by police in Austin, Texas, after it was determined that exhaust fumes had been seeping into the passenger compartments. A story from WWJ reporter Jeff Gilbert.
Ford says it believes carbon monoxide was getting into police versions of the Explorer through holes drilled when lights and other gear was added. When the holes were filled, Explorer Chief Engineer Bill Gubing says the carbon monoxide levels dropped. Ford believes the issue is unique to police vehicles.
The retail cars do not have this level of modification. They're not drilling holes in the back of their car. They're not adding strobe lights to the back.
Gubing says Ford will cooperate with a separate government investigation. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
A Tennessee funeral home and its director have been fined $3,500. Edmund Hill Ford Mortuary of Memphis charged with reusing caskets numerous times without changing the linings. Gary Nunn, CBS News.
I hate water softeners. I really hate softeners. I hate the thought of lugging salt and that it ruins septic systems. But I hate hard water that causes lime scale, which costs thousands in appliance damage and wasted energy.
Stop hating and start loving again with the HydroCare Smart Descaler from Wave Home Solutions. Prevent and eliminate lime scale the smart way. No maintenance, no salt, no plumbing required, and better than magnetic wraps. 1 year performance guaranteed. Go to IHateMySoftener.com. IHateMySoftener.com. Does your basement or crawl space have damp, musty odors? Do you worry about indoor gases and pollutants? Everyday living generates moisture that can nourish mold and odors, even asthmatic triggers. Indoor pollutants linked to respiratory ailments, birth defects, and cancers can become trapped in your home. You can't buy health, but you can buy Wave's moisture control and air quality products. Wave Home Solutions for a dry, healthy home.